good singing now. We're going to have to receive our offering right quick, so just keep your place there. It's good to be here on this old coal. We're not going to keep you long tonight. Something's wrong with it again, fellas. Turn it up one. Up. It ain't right. That's better. I'm going to try to let you go. It's raining outside. And before it starts freezing, we're on the roads. I done told my girls, my wife's taking her grandmother to New York this week to see her family, and I done told my girls, I said, we're going swimming this week. So we're going swimming this week. I pray it'll get just a tad warm. I done promised them we was going swimming. You know, cold water will make you feel good. It will. After you get over the shock, it really, you feel good after you get out. We'll have our ushers come, and we'll get ready to receive our offering this evening. I hope that you'll give. If the Lord bless you, and just keep your place there, and we'll read some scripture. Let's stand, and we'll ask the blessing offering tonight. Now, this is the last Sunday in the month, so you need to get your mission offering in tonight. Mission offering in tonight. Amen. Give, and the Lord will bless you for it. I guarantee you that. You'll never go wrong by honoring God, giving a good mission offering tonight. It'll be in the last Sunday of the month, your regular offering and offering plate. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us. We ask you in Jesus' name that you would bless this offering. Let it be just what you want it to be. We love you, and help us now tonight to get to have us to get from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll remind you, next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to begin our sign-up sheet for the New Jersey, New York Youth Choir trip. Everybody's already getting excited. All the young people are saying, that's going to be the first trip of the summer of 97. And don't let nothing interfere. We're going to give you these dates. The peak of camp this year is July 14th. Don't let nothing stop you. You young people, don't let stuff in. You want to grow up too fast, some of you. And you listen to the wrong voices. So get in these things while you're young and while you can. You won't always get to take trips to New York City. Get in on it. And we're going to Brother Fred's for revival. They're putting us up in the camp. And we're going to do some things a little bit different this year. Hopefully, we'll spend the night in beds instead of at a truck stop. Get the bus all tuned up and raring to go. You know, you look back on that now, it's fun. I never forget we were sitting there that night, and I thought, this has got to be the longest night in the world. I was sitting on the front seat, and you know me, I can't sleep. I can't sleep unless it's quiet, dark, fan running, you know. I can't stand, if somebody speaks, I'm late. It's like that. I sat there and looked out that window all night long. I thought, when, Lord, when is it going to get daylight? One time I kind of dozed off, and then I looked over here, and I thought, hallelujah, it's getting daylight. And then all of a sudden, it was a big white truck sitting right beside. I pulled off, and it got dark again. Just got dark just like that. That's awful. It was awful. It was hot. Man, them kids was... We had 90 of us sitting at a truck stop all night long. What a blessing. But we seen some people saved and had a great time. They won one of the New York PD to the Lord up there. Somebody did. Let a police officer to the Lord. And so May 27th, I believe on Tuesday morning, we're going to skip Washington, D.C. and go right on. Amen. Sound good to y'all? Amen. All right. Titus chapter 3 tonight, I'm going to bring you a message. This message don't have a title. I guess you can figure out something as we go along. A little simple thought tonight. This has been on my mind. I was reading it on an airplane the other day. And it kind of jumped out and got a hold of me a little bit. And I don't have an outline. I'm going to use the scripture itself for an outline. And I'm going to bring you a message on these first three verses of Titus chapter number 3. This, you got to understand, the Bible's written, the Holy Spirit got a hold of the hand of Paul and wrote to Titus, the young preacher. So this is the Holy Spirit talking to the young preacher, Titus. And he says, Titus, you tell them this, and you tell them that, and you tell them the other. Now I, as a preacher of the gospel, this is also, the Lord told me to preach the word, so it's my my job to tell you what the Lord said. So all I'm going to do tonight is just tell you what the Holy Spirit told Titus to remind them. Put them in mind. Put them in mind. I mean, just remind them of some things. So instead of giving you, I thought about preaching something doctrinal tonight. And I thought, no, I just want to get real simple. This will be one of the most simple messages you've ever heard. Guy asked me my advice on preaching. A missionary did. And he said, well, what do you recommend preaching? I said, put most of your sermons on a seven-year-old level. And then most of the adults can get a hold of it. And that's about the way it is. Keep it where a seven-year-old can understand it. And every young kid in here tonight is going to understand this simple message. And I love that about the Bible. It's simple. It's pointed, but it's right. Now, let's just go over them one time. Put them in mind. That's me reminding you to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, that means everyone. That means everyone. See that first verse? It says, put who in mind? What does it say? Put who in mind? Them. Who's, you know who the them is? Yous. You are the them. You are the them. My job tonight is to remind you that you're supposed to be subject to principalities and powers. That's the law enforcement. That's the government. That's the policeman uptown. That's the sheriff's department. That's the government, the laws of our land. We don't have right Christians just because we're Christians to break the law. The only time we ever have a right to break the law is when that law contradicts a definite command of God. When it comes to that point, we have to obey God rather than men. But now you can't say, well, I'm saved, I don't have to do what the law tells me. You most certainly do. For our testimony, for conscience sake, we've got to obey the law. Now, there's a lot of people these days want to pass the buck. Put them in mind. It means all of you. When a preacher preaches, you always remember he's preaching to everybody in here. You hear a lot of people say, oh, well, that sermon wasn't for me. He really told old so-and-so tonight. Buddy, I'll tell you what, he got on them tonight. I loved it when Brother So-and-so, you know, like the world's smallest evangelist, you know, last week, man, he let them young people have it. Now, what you don't realize is, no matter who's preaching, if they're preaching the Word of God, it's to everybody. It's to everybody. It's to me, it's to you. I mean, it's to everybody. Don't say he was doing good until he stopped. Don't say there's a great danger in you thinking. Listen to me. This is for all you front row people. This is for all you front row and second row people. And some of you back there, this is for all of you. What I'm getting ready to say right now is to you. There is a great danger in getting the attitude of, well, I've arrived, and nothing the preacher says applies to me. I'm kind of above all that. I don't ever do nothing wrong. You know, it's been a long time since I've seen some of you people come to the altar. Don't tell me you can sit there for a year or 2 years and never have nothing to come to the altar and pray about. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I believe you just harden your heart and deliberately living away from God. Everybody needs to repent over something once in a while. Put them in mind to be subject unto principalities and powers, to be ready to every good work. Now let's look at verse 2. Here's the outline. Let's look at verse 2. To speak evil of no man. To speak evil of no man. Now, what does he mean there? We understand. We know. We know that that does not apply to preaching against sin. That does not apply to preaching against sin. The Lord did it. Paul did it. Paul preached against the wickedness of his day. The Lord Jesus Christ preached against the wickedness of his day. But there is a difference between preaching against sin and evil in a righteous context and people sitting around in a restaurant or at home speaking evil of somebody. That's that old forked tongue. That old tongue that tries to hurt the reputation of another person by what they say to them. You know, the devil will never hurt our church with a bootleg joint. The devil will never hurt our church with the liquor store uptown. The devil will never hurt our church with a bar in Morganton or a gay bar in Asheville or whatever. The devil will never hurt our church by a gambling joint down in the country somewhere. I'll tell you how the devil hurt our church. If you begin to sit and speak speak evil one of another. I believe we ought to rededicate our life tonight to the Lord. Keep our mouth shut about our brothers and sisters in Christ. You say, well, Brother Danny, does that mean we can't? No, you know good and well what it means. You know good and well when you're sitting saying something about somebody deliberately trying to make that person think bad of that person you're talking about. That's what the Bible said. Don't speak evil one of another. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's a sin. It's a sin. Some of you parents or people in here, you get all upset when the young people goes out and sin, and you ought to. It ought to bother you. You get all upset because one of the teenagers got out and fell into sin. But listen, you forget your gossiping tongue is just as wicked as what that teenager's doing. Amen? You know, our school, the devil hates our school, and the devil, no doubt about it, he hates it. And it's wrong for the students in the school to talk bad about each other. It's wrong for you kids to speak evil of your teachers. It's wrong for you to get a group together and say, listen, I don't like so-and-so. And I mean, now listen, if you got a legitimate gripe, well, listen to it. But if you're just trying to speak evil because you're too lazy to do your homework or because you just don't want to get out of doing what God wants you to do, you are being used by the devil to hurt a person's reputation that's making a big sacrifice for you. A big sacrifice. It is wrong for you students to get among yourself and speak evil of your teachers. Likewise, it is wrong for you teachers to sit at the lunch table and talk down about the student and say, well, you know, so-and-so, and just deliberately try to make people think bad of certain student. Amen? Amen? Speak evil of no man. There's a difference between a prayer request and concern and deliberately trying to make somebody look bad. There's a big difference. The Bible said, speak evil of no man. Amen? It's wrong for you to sit in church, criticize the song leader or the songs or the choir. Why don't they learn some new songs? Well, it'd be help if you'd come to choir practice. Amen? I mean, listen, it's easy to sit back and speak evil of everything that goes on. What you ought to do, somebody said, busy people have no time to be busy bodies. And the people that's always griping and yakking about everything are the ones that ain't doing nothing. You stay busy enough, you ain't got time to gossip about somebody else. I wish some of you women would dedicate your tongue to the Lord. I heard about cows that can reach around like that and lick on their hind leg through a fence. You can beat that. You can lick each other and you're living across on the other side of McDowell County. Amen. Heard about one lady, she traded her telephone off, I mean her vacuum cleaner off for a telephone. She could pick up a lot more dirt with it. Hey, I'm serious. I'm not just joking. Oh, Brother Danny's giving us his usual 6-month sermon on gospel. Yes, sir. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said for me to remind you to speak evil to nobody. He said, well, you just don't know what I heard. I don't care what you heard about them. You got a 24-hour day job keeping your old lousy self straightened out. Ain't none of your business what nobody else does. You remember one time the Lord come to these disciples and they had arguing and they thought the Lord was letting somebody by with something. They said, but Lord, what will this man do? And the Lord said, what's it to you? What business is it of yours, man? You just serve God and do right. Don't worry about the other fella. Amen? Speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers. Now what does that mean? Gentle. The opposite of gentle. God don't want His people to go around fighting all the time. You ever met these people that are always wanting to fight? I'm not talking about necessarily physical fist. Just fight, fuss, all the time. Gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. This for Sunday school teachers. This for the Christian school teachers. You're showing all gentle. You can be firm and strict and be a disciplinarian, but at the same time be gentle and be meek if the Spirit of God's controlling you. Amen? What it says, be gentle and meek unto all men. Now, where do you draw the line? Somebody's talking about my mother. If you was up here tonight and you just started running your mouth about my mother, and you said, Betty Castle, she's this and she's that, you start calling her names, you know what I'd do? I'd be gentle, but I'd whack you over the head with this. I really would. I mean, and I ain't got no respect for a man that let somebody just talk about his mother. I'd say, I don't care how bad you, shut up! That's my mother you're talking about. And I love you. God bless you, but bow. See, God don't want us to be a bunch of sissies. God don't want us to be a bunch of little wimps. God don't want us to just say, well, we shouldn't let the world run over us and all that. You've got to take a stand. But at the same time, there is a time we're supposed to be gentle. We're supposed to be meek. We're supposed to be kind to everybody. Amen? Kind. You know what? You know what? There's some people, the only thing I've ever seen me is when I was preaching, and they really think I'm mean. And y'all know me, know I ain't mean. I ain't. I really ain't mean. I'm not mean at all. I am a big pushover, really, in real life. But I just talk mean for the Lord because He wants me to. You ask my wife how I forgive her. Ask her. Ask her. She made a big confession to me this morning. Or was it last night? Boy, she was dreading. And she said, are you mad? And I said, don't worry about it. I ain't going to tell you what it was. I tell you, it was bad. Ask my kids. You know what? No matter what they do, I don't think people are right with God that just fly off the handle at every little old thing. I don't think you're right with God. I don't think if your religion ain't done nothing for your temper, it ain't done a whole lot for your soul. I worry about people. It's like a time bomb ready to blow up every minute, every little old thing. They just blow up. Some of you people need to get your emotions under control and learn to obey God when He said, be gentle and meek unto all men. Well, look at here. This is what gets me under conviction. This verse 3. It said, we ourselves also were, past tense. Now listen to what it says. Sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. That sounds like some people now. I know Christians now that are foolish, disobedient, and deceived. According to the Bible, you ain't supposed to be that way. Now you're supposed to was being that. That's supposed to be used to. It's supposed to be what you was, not what you is. If you are what you was, you ain't what you're supposed to be. Do you know that? That was so smart, most of you never even got it. If you are what you was, you ain't what you are. You are what you are, but you ain't what you're supposed to be. Only the high intellectuals can grab hold of truth like that. Disobedience. Okay, one more time. If you are what you was, you ain't what you're supposed to be. That means if you didn't change, you're not what you're cracked up to be. I didn't say you was going to be perfect. I didn't say the old man, the flesh, don't rise up. I'm saying this, brother. When you get right with God, it does something for you. It does something for you. All right, let's look at it. You used to be foolish. Now, that means you ain't supposed to be foolish no more. Foolish? My soul. Disobedient? We're not supposed to be disobedient. Are we being disobedient to the Lord? I didn't say you was going to be perfect, but you are not supposed to live disobedient to the Lord. One thing that's killing a lot of Christians is, oh, well, I know I'm saved and I'm doing a lot of wrong, but so what? Everybody sins. No big deal. That is a demonic philosophy, brother. It ought to bother us when we sin. It ought to grieve us when we sin. It ought to break our heart when we sin. It ought to make us feel miserable when we sin. I don't think you quit sinning when you get right with God. I think you can quit enjoying it. You're miserable. You do wrong, you're miserable. You're the most miserable person in the world when you're doing wrong. Foolish. Deceived. Serving divers lusts. That's all different. Diverse. All different kinds of lust and pleasures. That's the world. That's the people on the talk shows. That's the rock music crowd. That's the people out there in the world. Look at this. Living in malice and envy. Malice and envy. You know that's the way most people's living today? Most people just live. You people that work in these factories, is that true or not? Don't you be working in these factories, you know what it is? It's dog eat dog. Everybody in there talking about everybody. Everybody in there, I mean, those are saying, oh, she thinks she's something, I don't like her. Oh, she thinks she's something because she got that new car. Look at her. Why, she ain't lost that much weight. She's got one of them things tied around her belly. And she's sucked it in, you know, and she's in this, hey, I just don't like her. I don't like so and so. Then malice, envy. That's all these factories are. Lord have mercy. It just goes. Gossip. The third shift don't like the second shift. Second shift don't like the first shift. And they don't like that boss man. They don't like boss man. And I saw her sitting beside so-and-so. And I bet she's running around on her husband. And I told the boss man talking to her. And I bet he's flirting. And blah, 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 blah. It's nothing but malice and envy. You know that's not the way Christian people are supposed to live. We're supposed to above that kind of junk. Amen. There should be a higher lifestyle for the child of God. Not that old. Well, she got a new car, so I just... Somebody said that's why them 39 people commit suicide out there. Just trying to keep up with the Joneses. But then, that's awful. That is cruel. But it's true. Did you know that's a wicked lifestyle? Wicked lifestyle. Well, they got a new car, so I got to get a new car. Envy. Uh-oh. Now, here's the part that got me on the airplane. You ever looked at this word here and realized this is a sin, people? Here's what I'm going to dwell on in just a few minutes. Hateful. Hateful. According to the Bible, you ought to see your faces. And I never realized that was a sin. Well, it is. It's right there in the Bible. The Bible said for me to remind you. Can I remind you tonight it's a sin for you to be hateful? I'm missing a few people here tonight. Where's old so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? I don't know where they're at tonight. But anyway, it's a sin for you to be hateful. Sin to be hateful. What in the world does a Christian got have any job being a grouch? Have you ever met anybody that's just a grouch? Now, I know that we don't know who the grouches are in here tonight. Because at church, you're all smiles and you're all shaking hands and everybody looks so nice and wonderful. But you know who the grouches are, don't you? Because you live with them. Say amen. Amen. That's right. You ought to see the looks I'm getting right in here right now. Like that right now. You know who the grouches are. Listen, I know this is funny, but I'm telling you, brother. Hey, you'd think of somebody's awful if they drunk liquor, but you'll go home and be hateful to your family. You need to get out here and ask God to forgive you. You say, well, let's get on my nerves, Brother Danny. Listen, you men ain't got no right to be hateful to your family, to your wife or your kids. Amen? You ain't got no right to be. I feel sorry for some little old kids, scared to death when daddy walks in the door. Daddy claimed to be a Christian, scared to death for at least a little. I should! Knock your head off, at least a little thing. You better look in the mirror, some of you daddies, tonight, buddy. It's wrong for you to be hateful to them kids. You say, bless God, I'm the man of my house. Bible never said nothing about you being a grouch or a smart aleck. It's all right to be firm. It's all right to be discipline them. It's all right to be the man of the house. But it's a sin to be hateful. I said it's a sin to be hateful. It's a sin to be hateful to your wife. It's a sin to be hateful to your kids. It's a sin. It's a sin. Sin. It's sin. It's sin. It's a wicked sin. It's a sin just like drinking liquor. It's a sin just like smoking pot. It's a sin for you to be hateful to your wife, your kid. You better look in the mirror, man. Some of you guys, your kids could rebuke you. They wasn't scared. One old boy, a boy told his kid, he said, son, I'm ashamed of you. When Abraham Lincoln was your age, he had read all the great books in the world. And he said, yeah, but Dad, when he's your age, he's president. So you ain't hot yourself, big boy. Amen. It's wrong. It's wrong for you to bite your wife's head off if she comes in. If you're sitting there watching the ball game and the kids come running through the house, get out of here! Honey, would you go? No, I will not. You know I've been waiting to watch this all week. Hush! Take them to bed. Make them go to bed in there. I want to see this. Honey, can we talk about... No, we can't! And you watch what happens when one of your hunting buddies calls. Telephone. Come in. Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, man, I tell you, we had a good night. Yeah, I'll play golf with you Saturday. I know that. You're just as friendly. You don't mind Bill interrupting that program, do you? Look up here. Hey, listen, if you ain't got time, if you want to be a grouch to your wife and bite her head off all the way to church, don't come walking in here with a smile on your face. Hey, don't get up and sing in the choir because you're a hypocrite. You need to ask God to forgive you and rededicate your life before you get into any of these things. I'm putting you in mind not to be hateful. Not to be hateful. Amen. Now, ladies, I think you're hatefuler than men. I do. I really do. I think on the average, women are more hateful. On the average. I'm not saying that because I'm a man. I'm just saying it's because it's the truth. Truth's the truth. It's true, man. Yinz, golly. I tell you. I said, kids at home, now let's pray that your mama's in a good mood this evening. Have you ever wondered why they name hurricanes after men, after women? Used to, anyway. That's something to think about, ain't it? I'm telling you what, buddy. One said this one fellow was lost, and that preacher tried to get him to come to church, and he went over and he said, "Why don't you come to church and get saved?" And the old man said, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you." He said, "Don't tell her I said this." But he said, "From the time that woman walked in till the time she leaves, she's fussing about something." And he said, "The only peace and quiet I get is while she's gone to church on Sunday." He said, "I ain't about to give that up." There are Christian women that as soon as he walks in the door, blah, 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 blah. Listen, I believe it's wrong to hit a woman. I think you're awful if you hit a woman. You never, ever, ever ought to hit a woman. Don't you take this wrong with it. But somebody, you know as well as I know they need it. And don't you take it out of context. The Lord will get you if you lie about me. I didn't say you should hit a woman. I think you ought to be put in jail if you ever hit a woman. Really, I do. But I'm telling you what, son. When they'll get in your face, blah, 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 blah. Oh, boy. I had a preacher, one guy told me, he said, "Brother Danny, the Bible said dwell with them according to knowledge." He said, "I've done everything I know to do." Now listen, you lady, you need to get the demons out of you. You need to start thanking God and quit fussing at your husband so much and fussing at your kids so much and don't start blaming it. I've heard this PMS stuff till I'm sick of it. I really don't. It couldn't be 30 days every month. Lord have mercy. I believe. Look at me. Look up here. You better not rebel on me. I'll call Brother Malone back down here for about a week. Listen. Listen to me. I'm sick of that excuse. Well, you just don't understand. I'm a woman. Yeah, we understand, all right. You got the devil in you. Amen. God never made it possible where you couldn't help sinning. I believe this. Now, I'll give you this much. I really do believe that women are different at a certain time. I believe that. Son, something sure happens to them. Change just like that. Every man I've ever talked to, and I've dealt with a lot. Listen, people, I travel from California. I'm going to California in October. I go to Florida. I go to Michigan. Go to New York. I meet people all the time. And all I hear about is church people and church problems all the time. And you know what I hear all the time? Man says, "Man, my wife, boy, I come home one day. And I mean, she's got on a negligee and perfume and says, 'Hi, darling.' And boy," he said, "man, I'm feeling good. And the next day I come home, she's in the living room bawling on the couch crying." "What's wrong?" "I don't know. I'm not happy. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just don't feel like nobody appreciates me. I don't feel like nobody cares about me." I think you need a trip to Broughton or something when you get like that. Your bills are paid. You got food in the refrigerator. You got nice clothes. You got a car. You land there crying thinking nobody cares about you. To me, I don't understand. That's weird. That is weird. But I'll grant you, some of that stuff is genetic or whatever. I don't know what makes you do that. You're weird, I can tell you that. But you know how I know you can control it if you really want to? Some of you ladies ain't going to like this because you've been using that for excuse for your devilment. But the truth is, I've seen someone say, "I can't help it. Everybody leave me alone. Just leave me alone for a little." Then one of your friends call you, ain't talked to them. "Well, hey, how are you?" You can get it under control when you want to, can't you? You lying thing, you. You're just using that. Some of you ladies, I know people that talk to me. I had one man tell me, he said, "Brother Danny, my wife drives me crazy. He said, every time I walk out the door, she thinks I'm out with another woman." He said, "I come home." Boy, this one guy said this. He said, "I come home one day." You know, he'd worked around a lot of people. Said there was a red hair. He said, "You've been out with a redhead." He said, "No, honey, I just..." Well, next day, come home, black hair. "Oh, you've been out with a black haired lady." He said, honey, so he made sure nothing wasn't going to happen like that again. Made sure everything was all cleaned up. Come in like that. She started looking on him. She said, you've been out with a bald-headed woman. The Bible says that you're not supposed to be hateful. You're not supposed to be hateful. Now, I'll grant you, sometimes a man can get aggravated. Sometimes you can get aggravated. Sometimes kids will drive you up the wall. I can feel it. Can't you feel it sometimes? Boy, they start getting on you. Oh, boy, I'm gonna knock one of them's head off in a minute. You feel like that sometimes. You really do. But there is no excuse for a Christian to be a habitual grouch. I mean, in other words, I could say, brother, but I'm preaching right now, and I'm a Christian, I can't say. But listen, there's no excuse for a Christian to act like that. Lord have mercy, man. Ask God to get a hold of yours. Hold of your emotions and control them a little bit. He just said for me to put you in mind. Being hateful and hating one another. See, years ago, people couldn't, let's like kids blame all this stuff on being hype. Little kid mean as the devil nowadays. People say, well, I just took him to the doctor and they said he would diagnose him as hyperactive. There wasn't no such thing as that when I was little. Your parents realized you was a little brat and they beat the hyper out of you. That's exactly what some of you people need to do to your kids. They've got you snowed. You're blind as a bat. And they think, well, I just can't discipline him. He's so cute and hyper. No, he's just full of the devil and you need to beat it out of him. And you can't see it. I don't know why some of you ladies can't see how bratty your kids are. And it's just hard seeing your own, I reckon. But see, you use that hyper excuse for everything. And you ladies use that female thing for everything. Like